I had a really compelling and interesting opportunity to take a look at, kind of taking a deeper look at what goes on in my mind when I do what I would describe as going through the process of feeling embarrassed about something. This is something that I haven't thought about in a while. And I had one of those, what I refer to as those opportunities that pop up that I could either look at as a challenge and as a crisis and something to get really carried away with. And believe me when I say that even though I have practiced mindfulness for, you know, decades, I am not immune, just like everybody else. You know, we're all human. And when I tell you that, or when I say that this was an opportunity to get carried away, I definitely did spend some time getting completely wrapped up in this and carried away with it. And before I go into this, I just want to repeat again, because I think it's so important that it bears repeating on a regular basis, that the idea behind mindfulness practice is not to get to a place where it's not a what I refer to as a self-improvement program. While there are clearly improvements in our ability to cope and in our mind, you know, having more calm and joy, you know, in calm and joyous states of mind, it is not something that is really about trying to be better or improve ourselves in some way. It really is, at least for me, has been about trying to reduce the needless suffering that I cause myself when I get really wrapped up in thinking about how I'm feeling. So, and the other part of this is that it is not going to ever make me immune to feeling things like feeling embarrassed or feeling angry or disappointed or whatever the case may be. There's all kinds of negative emotions that we humans have the ability to feel. And I would go as far to say that we have a tendency to feel these things because this is the way that we're wired. And I know that trying very early on in my years of practice, you know, that is what it was about. I didn't want to suffer anymore. And so I really wanted to figure a way out so that I would not struggle with feeling any negative mind states. And for years, that's really the way it was for me, until I had a teacher point out to me one time. It was a major revelation for me to understand and really embrace and internalize that this is never has been and is never going to be this journey that we're on to be more mindful and to cope more effectively. It never was, never is, and never will be about trying to escape any kinds of feelings at all. That if I sit around and worry and fear about feeling negative emotions, then it does me no good, because I'm going to find myself there from time to time. And there's no way to really brace against it. I can try to escape it or divert myself or try to get wrapped up in something that will kind of take me away. But I found that it never really worked very well. So getting back to what I was going to speak about in this moment, or in these moments, I had an opportunity this week, and I generally tend not to, and really don't, definitely, you know, continue to feel that there is no reason to get into the story itself, because it really doesn't matter. It's just something that happened as a human being, and we all have these stories. But I had a situation come up earlier this week where I have something that is a real hobby and a passion of mine, and I was trying to find opportunities for people who are various kinds of performing artists to do things in the community. And this is something that I just enjoy doing in my free time. It's not anything that I am really wrapped up in it's not a central focal point of my life. It's something that I enjoy doing and trying to, you know, create different opportunities for artists and the community to get together. And I had a situation come up this week where I had previously had, I guess what you'd refer to as a project that was getting started, and there were some promises made, commitments, whatever you want to call it, by some of the people that were involved, and some of the variables changed, and I was informed of that this week. And I found myself in one of those situations where I was incredibly disappointed. I was angry that the game was changed, the getting changed. And they're really the toughest part about this was that I was embarrassed by it, because I somehow felt responsible for this. I somehow felt like this was my fault. And yes, there are clearly things that I can do to try to minimize things like this happening. But at the end of the day, I had to accept that this was out of my control. I did what I could to try to, to get things back to, where we were when these promises and commitments were originally made, but it just was not going to happen no matter how hard I tried. And actually, if I would have continued to really bang my head against the wall, it's very possible that I could have just completely ruined any opportunity. I had to remember that there was really kind of two sides to the coin. The reason why I struggled with feeling embarrassed was that I really felt like I let people down. And I took it, I take this really seriously, like a lot of people take seriously about things that they're doing in the world and in the community. And when they don't go the way that, we originally had shared with people that we were told that they were going to go, sometimes there is embarrassment. Sometimes there is a feeling of failure, a feeling like we really let some people down. And the news was not great. And certainly the people that I had to let know about this, to inform them of this, they were not thrilled to hear this. And I found myself feeling a lot of embarrassment about feeling it. I mean, there was obviously feelings of frustration. I was disappointed in these people I had been working with to try to help make this happen. And so really boiling all this down, what does this have to do with mindfulness? What does this have to do with coping more effectively? What I ended up really having to come to terms with, and this was after probably spending, I'm just guessing here, probably, 3 or 4 hours really wrapped up in reacting to what had happened. And I did. I felt, I literally felt like I had failed people. I felt like I had really let people down. It wasn't that anybody said those things to me, but I just, in my own mind, I was convinced of that. So in terms of mindfulness or awareness, to really slow all this down, because just like any other negative mind states, when we are going through these, experiencing this kind of energy that generally is referred to as a negative emotion or a negative mind state, there's a lot, generally what I find is there's a lot of things happening all at once. I've got my own thoughts about what's happened. I am constantly replaying, what was said to me or done to me or whatever I felt like was said or done to me over and over again, and getting myself all upset and riled up about it, over and over again. It's almost like somewhat of an endless loop or a vicious cycle. So I've got all these things going on in my head. I'm replaying this over and over again. I am kind of wallowing in feelings of self-pity, of feeling like a victim. This isn't fair. Now everybody's going to think that I'm a failure. But the most important part about all this, to cut through all of this clutter, and that's really what it ends up being. That's really what it ends up feeling like, at least for me and a lot of people that I have taught and have sat with and worked with, is that, all of these things really, at the end of the day, to clear through it, they're just clutter and they're really just thoughts. This is all just what I'd refer to as stuff that's in the mind. We're just thinking essentially about whatever it is that we're feeling emotionally, which is, we're feeling that in our bodies, in our mind. That's all connected. So this is what's happening. And I know that the more that I invest, and I felt myself even when I was communicating with people who I had been working with on this project, there was I literally was aware of the fact that I was almost dumping, is what I would call this, or I was literally, venting about my disappointment and how I felt like a failure and how embarrassed I was. And I knew that, I was aware of it, and yet it was happening anyway. I became aware fairly quickly that, there's really no need for me to dump all this on other people. There's no need for me to vent this to other people. Sometimes we just want to do that or feel the need to do it. And I'm not judging myself or, kicking myself or beating myself up emotionally for doing it. It's just that I realized very quickly that it's not going to really change anything for me. If I continue to get wrapped up in doing that, it's another component of the clutter that's in my head. If I'm really believing all these thoughts that I have about being embarrassed, about feeling like somehow I've made a fool out of myself, I've been foolish. And there's going to be times in life where clearly we're going to do that. And I'm very well aware that I have certain things in my life that I, you know, certain situations that I will tend to feel foolish and that I will avoid being in those situations because I'm afraid I'm going to look foolish to someone. But what's most important about that, and I've had, you know, several people in the healing professions tell me that that's just my thoughts about me, that maybe other people really aren't thinking that, most likely probably aren't. Even if they are, that's their business, and there's nothing, you know, all I can do is be me. So I know this sounds like a lot, but the idea here is that hopefully people can identify, and I hope that they've not had to experience that really, you know, really often or on a frequent basis, but it does seem to be part of the human experience. So even when I'm aware of the fact that I am doing this with other people, I am venting all these things, it's something that I want to be aware of because I there's no way I would stop doing it unless I'm aware that I'm doing it. The tough part is that even though I'm doing this with people and venting my frustrations, it's really just a way of blowing off steam, so to speak. But it's at other people's expense, and I don't, you know, and I realize I've had people that vent to me on a regular basis, and I cut people slack for that, and I really believe in this case, the people that I shared this with, and it wasn't a lot of people, but this was something that the people who were there for me are, you know, are friends and willing to be there for me. But at the end of the day, I feel like I'm really, at some point, you know, there's a limit to what I can really get out of this. At some point, I'm just wasting their time and my time and, you know, their energy and my energy. And it still, even though I was aware of this, it still took a while to let the momentum of this finally, you know, start to slow down. And that's where I, you know, I can't make myself stop feeling these things. And even more importantly than that, thinking the thoughts about what I'm feeling. And that's really what it took for me to finally get a hold of myself, so to speak, and to come back to center and to come back to the present moment. I know that, you know, this is not that this really matters, but I think it, you know, could possibly be helpful. I know for me, I don't want to necessarily get caught up in focusing on this too much, but in terms of embarrassment and feeling foolish, I've had the opportunity, thankfully, of working with healing professionals that have helped me uncover the fact that this was a dominant thing in my childhood. I had situations where there was, you know, I don't want to call it trauma, but I do want to say that there were certain patterns in my life that I struggled with feeling foolish and not wanting to look foolish. And a lot of it was around body image issues and my low self-esteem and low self-confidence. The only reason I bring these things up is because I think there's really, really two different layers of the struggles that people have with these things. And the first layer is just, you know, being able to cope on a day-to-day basis and a moment-to-moment basis. So in other words, if I can practice being more aware by practicing mindfulness, utilizing different meditative practices that work for us to become aware of the fact that whatever it is we're feeling overwhelmed by are really just nothing but a bunch of mental clutter. And they really are, that's just another phrase for what thoughts are. I'm ultimately thinking about this a lot. I am focusing on it. I'm putting a lot of energy into the thoughts I have about being embarrassed and why I feel like I'm embarrassed and why I feel like I have been a failure and look foolish and am foolish, whatever the case may be. These are just thoughts that I have. And if I can just begin to just be aware that I'm thinking these things, that's all I really have to do at a minimum. It's not to say that I can't do other things, but I don't want to focus so much on the doing. What I really want to focus on is just being more at peace, just letting go of the need to identify as the person who is, I'm the person that's embarrassed. I'm the person that feels like a fool. I feel foolish, whatever it is. I'm disappointed in people. I'm somehow the victim of other people's choices and decisions. I just want to let go of all that. And by letting go of it, it doesn't mean that I'm going to willfully stop thinking these thoughts. It's just that as soon as I become aware that these are just thoughts that I'm thinking, they don't necessarily generally represent reality in terms of absolute reality. They may have some representation of relative reality, but I don't want to get completely caught up in believing that relative reality, because that's just really dependent on the observer. You know, however much emotional stake I have in what I think is happening is really just what I think is happening, and it's colored by my own personal biases. So, and it may not be what's really happening. And so the only way for me to get back in a space where I am, you know, in the moment, where whatever the truth of what's happening is happening, I have to be in a position where I'm no longer believing all of my thoughts about what is going on and how I'm with my thoughts about what it is that I'm feeling. So that's really the first step, is that I can just, and I did become aware of this. It took, you know, a lot longer than I would have preferred. I definitely wasted some time and energy, and I, you know, took up people's time with my venting of my frustrations and hurt feelings, and, you know, my, you know, feeling like a failure. And, you know, frankly, I would have loved to have not had to have done that to anybody. I would love to have not done it to myself, because I realize, and that kind of in the moment, I'm just realizing right now that, you know, most importantly, I am really hurting myself first. And generally, that's the hardest thing to sometimes wrap our heads around, is that, and it's not that, you know, hurting myself or that I'm causing myself difficulty is more important or of more concern than what I can do to other people. But I know that I can't stop doing whatever I'm doing to other people unless I first eliminate that suffering within myself. In other words, I have to heal myself. And then the idea is to be able to be able to more effectively regulate my actions towards others. And, you know, it comes from awareness. It comes from a place of literally being more aware of what I'm doing to myself and how I'm treating others. But it all starts, you know, with the person in the mirror, so to speak. And then really what ended up happening was that once I became aware that this was really just a bunch of thoughts in my head, and that even though I did feel sad about it, there was clearly a low emotional state, I also know that at the end of the day that I can't stop myself from feeling that. That as a human being, there's no sense in running away from it. There's no sense in trying to run and hide from it. It's just where I was in the moment. And thinking all these thoughts and reliving all these things and identifying as the victim and feeling like the person who's embarrassed is not going to help me heal at all. But I do know that sometimes having to go through experiencing those negative emotional states, that I can do that and go through and let that energy work its way through me, and let, you know at some point, and trust and have faith that it will pass. I know that I can make it a lot easier on myself if I'm just willing to be aware of what's going on in my head while I'm feeling this way, and paying attention to how I treat myself and how I treat others. And it's interesting because there's really another level of this. I was kind of talking about the experiencing this on two different levels. So the mindfulness practice, just on the moment to moment, you know, kind of day to day, putting one foot in front of the other, you know, the chopping wood and carrying water that the Zen master spoke of, just living daily life, you know, being out in the world, being in life, taking care of our responsibilities, doing our work. You know, I can do all that more effectively if I am paying more attention to my mind and what it is that I'm thinking about all these different things that are happening to me. I can't control very much of it. I can control what I can control. But essentially, though, this is what enables me, what powers me to be able to cope in the most effective way that I possibly can. And that's why the practice has been something that I feel is so valuable, that can be practiced by anyone, is that it's a way of really practicing getting out of our own way. We can begin to realize that we're not our thoughts, that, you know, that, and also I had a teacher once tell me that feelings are not facts. They're just feelings. And it's, I know sometimes we can get very, very attached to our feelings and believe that they are the absolute truth. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to necessarily debate this with anyone. It's just, I found for myself that if by looking at it this way, I am a lot more open to feeling whatever it is I'm feeling. And I'd really love, most importantly, to do that without overthinking or just investing in a lot of thoughts about what I'm feeling and identifying as the person that's feeling this or that or the other. So this is really what mindful coping is all about. It's just, you know, that daily ABCs and 1-2-3s, the what sometimes people refer to as blocking and tackling. It's just that, you know, the day-to-day, moment-to-moment work of paying attention to our thoughts and realizing, hey, there I go again. You know, I'm getting wrapped up in thoughts about this or about that, and then I can let them go. It's kind of almost, I've heard some practitioners talk about these, or meditation masters talking about it. The metaphor for this is like pulling weeds in a garden. You know, we can't, I guess there are things, obviously, we can spray in the ground to prevent weeds from coming up. But in this case, you know, the metaphor doesn't really work itself out. in terms of, you know, using that as that garden box is basically our minds. In other words, there's things we can use to dull our mind's ability to think thoughts. But generally what I found is that in most cases, those things, you know, the various substances and things we can use to try to do, you know, to not have these thoughts just really dulls our senses and our ability to cope and function. I realize there are clearly medical situations where those things are necessary, and I'm not saying that they're not. I'm not saying that they, you know, I'm not certainly not saying that they're not necessary. I'm just saying that in this case, I have to be willing to just, you know, be open to pulling the weeds as they come up and knowing that they will continue to come up. I also know that if I, you know, was in a medical situation where I had to utilize things to, you know, to put myself in a position to regulate certain things, that yes, I would do that if I had to do that. In this case, thankfully, I don't. So what I really want to do is just do this practice. And even if someone is needing to do that, there are still obviously benefits from, you know, utilizing and engaging in a mindfulness practice. So then the second layer, and I don't really want to spend a lot of time on this, but it is, you know, it is kind of taking a look at the deeper, you know, kind of taking a deeper dive into this, that, you know, because we, you know, as humans, a lot of our biases and things that we avoid and that make us uncomfortable come from things that happened in the past. I really had a beautiful opportunity to, the same day that this happened earlier this week, I had an opportunity to go to an event where it was essentially a community music event where people were, you know, utilizing their voices and various instruments. And that's always been something in terms of, you know, singing or chanting in front of a group or making noises, whatever it is. You know, there's that's always been something that has made me uncomfortable. And I have admittedly avoided situations like that because I remember at some point as a child, there were, you know, someone made fun of me. Somehow I quote unquote looked silly or looked foolish. And that stayed with me. And I know sometimes those kinds of, I don't want to refer, I guess you could call it a trauma to a certain degree. They're just, you know, situations. And I realize there's degrees of severity. There are clearly some things that really are serious trauma and severe trauma. And then there are things that we just went through that were uncomfortable and we remember those somehow and they get stored in our subconscious mind. And we find that those things will affect choices that we make. I was invited to go participate in this and immediately became aware that, I don't know about that. I love the idea of it. I just don't love the idea of potentially feeling foolish or being embarrassed at, not feeling like I'm doing this right or whatever it is, or just, you know, being vulnerable in front of a group. And I went with all, you know, and there again, this is not, you know, saying to pat me on the back or anything else. It's just that, you know, by being willing to go to this on a day when I had already really overinvested in feeling embarrassed or foolish, this was really healing for me in a lot of ways. And so I guess the reason why I'm sharing this is that there really are two layers to this. There's a deeper layer, and these are, you know, things that can be dealt with. And I'm, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do this. I just know that, you know, mindfulness practice, mindful coping, meditation practices are certainly one of the tools that we have to do this. But sometimes, you know, there are certain recurring patterns that happen in our lives or things that keep reoccurring that really disquiet us to a certain degree or hold us back from being, you know, the best us we can be. And in this case, I just felt very intuitively that I needed to go to this. And I'll admit it, I felt very uncomfortable. I went and I felt resistance the entire time I'm driving to the venue. And then I kind of did the whole game, played the game with myself about, well, I'll go there and then I'll see if I really want to go in. And then I got there. Maybe I won't find a parking place because it was downtown. And the hope was that maybe I wouldn't be able to park and go. But, you know, there was a parking place. Clearly this was meant to be for me to be there. And I walk in and I'm thinking, well, I'm almost late. Maybe I get there and they're already underway. And, it's just those games that we play with ourselves. And I sit down. And I knew in my heart that I was going to feel uncomfortable and there was going to be a situation in which I was going to have to be vulnerable in front of a group and feel foolish. And sure enough, I had that opportunity to do it. And I admit that I was, you know, unbelievably uncomfortable and really feeling resistant to participating. But the beautiful part is that there again, you know, I talk about that first layer and then that deeper layer. You know, the first layer, that just the moment-to-moment mindfulness practice, is what allowed me to get through that. I knew, I was aware. I was thinking thoughts. I was clearly resistant, but I just kept breathing in and out and utilizing meditation or meditative practices to just go through this event one moment at a time. And when it came time for me to, make noises or sing or whatever it was, I just did it. And I felt unbelievably, there again, I say I felt foolish, and that really isn't what it is. And it's an old habit that's hard to get rid of. I've said that for so long. It's really that I was thinking thoughts of feeling foolish. I was, thinking thoughts of investing myself as the person who was foolish. And it was an incredibly healing event. It was really healing for me to put myself in a position where I had to really confront those feelings of embarrassment. And there were thoughts that were being essentially, that were invested in me feeling foolish and being embarrassed about being vulnerable that way. And the cool part is, it's not a cure-all. I didn't walk out of there feeling completely transformed and changed. I think what did happen, though, is I walked out of there with a greater awareness of this is something that I clearly struggle with at a deeper level. There's no magic pill for this. There's no magic cure for this. Probably the only magic cure for this, and it's not really even magic, it might be a little bit, is that I'm just going to be willing to keep embracing opportunities to do that over and over again. That's really the only way I can heal from these struggles about being embarrassed or feeling ashamed or foolish, is that I will just continue to have to be open to practicing mindfulness in these moments where I am overinvested and driving myself crazy, thinking these thoughts about this, and just continue to live life and not hide from life or from the world. And that's really ultimately what makes the difference for me.